I listen to a powerful offertory like that, and you just reckon that to be true. I believe. Belief is so important. Belief is what I'm after today. I'm after your heart, your mind, your conscience. God has laid on my heart the theme of his love for the month of December. Just, I can't tell you how it just penetrates in my mind and my brain. And I've had the wonderful privilege for the last 2 weeks, and will continue, to preach on God's great love. I preached to you the first message simply entitled, "That He, God, the God of Love." I went to the book of 2 Corinthians where Paul told us that our God is a God of love. Last week I went to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and revealed to you and showed you the agony of love, love's agony. I don't know that there's any greater agony to love than for love to be one-sided. To love someone who does not love you back. On a physical and a relational level, to love someone that does not love you is almost hard to handle. I guess close to that would be for someone not to see your love for them. For them to misinterpret your intentions. For them to misinterpret your actions. For you to move with the motivation of love in somebody's life and then have that motive questioned. If you've ever experienced that, you know that to be tremendously painful. And I think as the prophet was bringing the burden of the Lord to the people of God in Malachi, you just sense that within what the prophet said. God said, "I have loved you," period. By the way, there's nothing you can add or take away from that statement. And then to follow that with, "Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us?" ? I have found that the God of this world, small g, you know his name to be Satan. Excuse me, Pastor? Did you just say that Satan is a god? I absolutely did. How could you say that? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. You may not fully understand that in your mind, but if you would just let it bounce around in there. Some of you have way more room than others for things to bounce. Just let it bounce a little bit. And the God of this world has been ever aggressive in attacking the God of the universe. And one of the things that Satan does as a weapon that is so powerful, and he did it all the way back in the Garden of Eden, is he brings to the human mind ? You know, sometimes you can be relating in a certain area in your life and never think a negative thing until somebody brings a question up, and then it kind of lingers with you and you kind of hold on to it and you kind of think about it. This is what Satan has done in the mind of humanity. He has put a question mark about the fact that God is the God of love. He's put a question mark in the minds of people that God could possibly love them. I want to come to you today, and I want to preach to you a message that I hope is inspiring to you. I hope and pray a message that will be instructional to you and a comfort and an encouragement to you. I find that many people struggle with belief in God, struggle with their submission to God, because they question the love of God for them in their life. They look at their life and they look at the circumstances or the areas or the things in their life, and they do not see any proof or evidence of God's love. Some of that is honest. Some of that is a dishonest approach. Some of that is blinded by the God of this world in their heart and in their mind. let me say something about love. True love will always carry with it true evidence of its love. Love is evidential. You cannot say that you have love and it not be evidenced or followed up with a direction there. All love is evidential. Help me with this. For God so loved the world that he gave. Really and truthfully, the greatest evidence of love is giving. You cannot take and say that you love. Oh, every young lady in the building ought to listen to me. That man will take from you. He will take from you what you let him take. But no man that says he loves takes. Love gives. Our girls are being violated and stolen. And they believe what comes out of the mouth of a man that he loves. My friends, love is selfless. Love is giving. Love is never taking. Many people struggle with God being a lover because they think God has taken from them. Taken a spouse, taken a child, taken an opportunity, taken some kind of freedom, taken some kind of whatever. The truth be is, the only thing that God has ever taken from you, you want him to take, and that would be our sin. Other than that, God is a giver. I find that sometimes people question the love of God in their life on a personal level because they kind of think that God shows his love individually. And so they judge God's love by how their life is faring. Something you might understand as a way of illustration is you may look at this handsome preacher and then you may look at Brother Malcolm and you would dare say God loves the preacher. Amen? Here's where humanity doesn't understand the love of God. They think that somehow that God issues his love on an individual basis, but I'm going to prove to you that God has shown his love to the whole world the same way. That is imperative that you just heard what I said. God has declared his love to the whole world the very same way. I submit to you that people do not believe that God loves because people have not found the evidence of the love of God through the Word of God. They've not read the Bible. My friend, I want to be very kindly, but here's what I want to say. If you do not believe that God loves you, that's not God's fault. But Pastor, you don't know what God has done to me. I would say to that, number one, not everything that has happened to you has probably been done by God. He may have allowed some things to happen. I would say, secondly, the things that have happened to you that God knows about, God's able to use those things, and there may be a day you will realize the love of God as he has allowed this into your life. But I have found in the Scripture the evidence and the proof of God's love, and I have found it to be so amazing and so divine that I believe it demands my soul, my life, and my all. And I want to show it to you from the book of Romans. Would you go to the 5th chapter of the book of Romans? If you're looking for a Bible passage to study this Christmas season, I would encourage you to study Romans chapter 5. I would encourage you to read Romans chapter 5 every day. I would encourage you to read it with a pen and write down the truths as God unfolds them to you. I submit to you right at the beginning that Romans chapter 5 is as much a Christmas passage in the Bible as Luke chapter 2. For Romans chapter 5, you find the declaration of the Christmas story. In Romans chapter 5, you find that what God has been up to since the creation of man. In Romans chapter 5, it will help bridge to you the thought process and the love of God. It is imperative that believers understand Romans chapter 5, and it will be a delight as you read Romans chapter 5. And I would beg you to pick up with our text verse in chapter 5, verse number 6. The Apostle Paul writes, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," would you read the last part of the verse with me, please? "Christ died for us." The word commendeth there is the word demonstrates, recommends, proves. Pastor, does God love me? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Pastor, you don't understand who I am. I know, but God does. Does he love me anyway? Yes. Pastor, how do I know that God loves me? Well, in verse number 8, he says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," say it again, "Christ died for us." How do you know God loves you? Because Christ died for you. Christ's death upon the cross is the proof and the evidence of the love that God has for the whole world. To misinterpret this, to become so familiar with it, to say that I know it or I reckon it, but yet doubt the love of God is evidence that you don't understand. Romans chapter 5, in verse number 8. I see three things in this verse that I want to preach to you about, and I want you to write them down. I need you to understand, if you're going to understand this love to be so amazing, I need you to understand the persons that are mentioned in this verse. I will declare to you the proof of the love of God as you see it there in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will find the premise of our season and our month and the fact that God has commended or shown his love. The persons of the verse, if you take your pen, you ought to circle the name God, but God in verse number 8, commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. Circle the word sinners. In my Bible, there is a line between the but God and the yet sinners. I see that line as a gulf between God and man. It's interesting that gulf between God and man, I read about the love of God. I need you to understand the persons of this verse. I submit to you that you are in this verse. Every man, every woman ever been born finds themselves in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Do not let the God of this world blind your eyes from that. How do you define God? If I asked you to define God, where would you begin? How would you even go about beginning to define or understand God? He's immeasurable. He's limitless. It almost awfully positions me to even think about beginning to describe God in his totality. I lack for words, but I need you to understand a little bit about God today so you understand his great love for us. I got some help in defining God. I got it from someone who knew God, who loved the Lord Jesus, who walked with him, who ate with him, who laid on his breast, who knew the love of God in a very unique and wonderful way, and that would be the Apostle John. Write these three sentences down as the Apostle John defined for us God in his epistles. And I want to use one of them to build a platform today that I hope and pray you will never forget, and an introduction to the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, John told us that God is love. We know that this is his very nature. He is love. If you wanted to define love, you could use one word, God. Also in his epistle, John describes God as God is life. He is essential life. He is eternal life. All life comes from God. Before there was ever any created life, there was God. God is eternal. He has never had a beginning. He will never have an end. He has always been. Jesus is not the beginning of God. Jesus is God, eternal, manifested in human flesh. That's why when we sing, God is with us, it ought to excite us.
Emmanuel, God with us.
That's about how I sing when I try, too. God fashioned as a man. Wow. God is love. God is life. Also in the epistle of 1 John, John describes God as light. He calls him the God of light. God is light. I want to take this description of God. As I think about the description of God being light, it builds a beautiful backdrop for me to understand the love of God. 'Tis the season that we turn on the lights. John would go on to say this about Jesus and about God. That God is light, and in him is no, what class? Darkness. And then he added, at all. When you think about describing light, if I said for you, define for me light, where would you begin? I think you would begin by saying it gives the ability to see. I think you could add to that words like exposure, illumination. You could add to that word reveals. You find in the Bible that light is usually defined and accompanied by truth. If you wanted to talk about light, they talk about pure light. When you're talking about light, you're talking about the absence of darkness. Wow. Think about that. When the Bible describes God as light, you think about the purity of God. I don't know about you, but I believe that God is holy, righteous, true, and faithful. If you do, say amen. I looked in that light bulb up here, and all of you are just spots right now, so I need God to help my eyeballs. Holy, right in his character. Righteous, right in his conduct. Truth, without error, faithful. The God of the universe is infinite in power, infinite in wisdom, infinite in holiness. What does that mean? There is no darkness to him. There's only exposure with God. The Bible says that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Crime usually happens under darkness. When I was growing up, they used to say nothing good ever happens after dark. I would submit to you that if we understood, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit of God to help me to burn within your mind and your heart, that God is light. He's holy. He's righteous. And where he is and in his light, there is no place for darkness. They tell us, preacher boys, that people will not tolerate messages that expose them in their mind or in their heart. They tell us that mankind and ladies no longer want to hear about holiness. They no longer want to hear about righteousness. We're told that they no longer want to hear about sin. And so they're trying to put it out of their vocabulary. They're trying to put it out of their mind. They're trying to put it out of their thinking. But here's the problem. I can't put it out of my experience. Why are you telling us this, Pastor? Because I need you to understand, if you're ever going to understand or worship or praise God for his love, you must believe that God is light. See him as light. Are you with me? Say amen if you are. I'm preaching a good message. I'm enjoying it myself. The other person is the sinner. The sinner is opposite of the character of God. The sinner has a nature, even though he is the man is the crown of creation, he has a sinful nature. I find myself in the image of Adam. Where God is holy, I find myself unholy. Where God is righteous, I find myself unrighteous. Where God is true, I find myself a liar. Matter of fact, the psalmist said that I came out of my mother's womb speaking lies. I don't believe that about myself, but I do about my four children. Why do you want me to understand this, Pastor? Because when I think about the character of God, I think about God is light, holy, and righteous, and truth. When I think about my nature, I think about darkness. When I think about God being light, I think about God being pure. And I think about me, I think about impurity. Really, if I bring this to my human mind and understanding, impurity is really loathsome to purity. Purity cannot tolerate impurity. You cannot call it pure if there be any imperfection. And the enemy of purity is impurity. God is holy. God is faithful. God is just. Man came forth from his mother's womb unholy, unfaithful, unjust. God, as a nature and as a being, is holy and righteous. My nature is sinful. It's opposite of God. I find myself there in that position. And even though impurity ought to be loathsome to purity, and purity hates impurity, thank God he doesn't love like we love. And in that moment where mankind finds himself impure, pure, holy God could have just destroyed us all and left us in that condition. And really and truthfully, when you think about love, that ought to be the least emotion or the least response from purity to impurity. And then yet you think about God demonstrated or proved his love in that while I was impure, Christ died for me. What an offense for humanity To look at holy God and say, wherein hast thou loved me? You've never proven your love to me. You haven't done a stinking thing for me. I've suffered. I've done this. I've done all that. How do I know you love me? Oh, my friend, the proof and the evidence that God loved you is Christ died for you. Scarcely for a righteous man one would die. Peradventure, some for a good man. A soldier may give his life for another. Somebody may die for one. But nobody would die for their enemy. Jesus did. Praise God that Jesus has never been the enemy of humanity. Oh, hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me, please. Jesus has never been the enemy of humanity. If there's any enmity, which the Bible says, it comes from humanity toward God. But the Bible says that as that enmity was coming, God loved me. Wow. But Pastor, didn't Jesus die 2,000 years ago? Yeah, but God has known me forever. And he died for humanity. What love. Apart from the cross of Christ, I can understand a man not being persuaded that God loves them. Pastor, my kid was born with cancer. Don't tell me God loves me. Pastor, my marriage, my relationships, my life has been destroyed. Don't tell me God loves me. Pastor, you don't understand. Don't tell me God. How do you know God loves me? Yeah. Because he died for you. And you got to understand that Satan will take your mind and put it on these things. The preacher's job is to take your mind and put it on the Word of God. I need you to go to Romans chapter 5. Just let me speak a moment about the death of Christ. Let me just show you how this fits in the Christmas season. I'm almost finished. I almost promise you. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who is that one man, my friends? Adam. Watch this. And death by sin. The thought process there, so you understand, you could read, and death entered into the world by sin. Why do people die? Sin. Why do babies die? Sin. Why do people get killed? Sin. Why do people lose their life? Sin. Not calling them sinners. I'm just telling you that when Adam sinned and transgressed against God, that act brought sin into the world, and sin brought death into the world. You must understand that. Look at verse 12. And so death passed upon all men. For that, all have what class? Now you're right there. You're right there. Just lift your eyes to chapter 6. Look, if you would, at verse 23. For the wages, or the price, or the consequence of sin is death. But the, say it. Gift. Christmas, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Understand what just happened here. Adam, as the federal head of the human race, brought humanity into the position of sin. When Adam sinned, every person born from Adam's loins was born from with a sinful nature. And so as sin came into the world, it brought death into the world. Let's talk about death just a moment so we understand what death is. We're not talking about some physical annihilation here where you don't exist anymore. Never forget this definition. Death is nothing more than separation. Death is nothing more than separation. When a man dies, a human dies, the soul and the spirit separate from the body. Where do they go, Pastor? They go to one of two places. They either go to be with the Lord or they're without the Lord forever in his absence. When Adam sinned in the garden, death immediately happened as his spirit was separated from an ownership of God. Man was lost to God. Adam didn't die physically, but God said he died. His spirit was separated. He was outside of the garden, placed there. God put an angel there to guard that. Sin separated man from God, and a great gulf fixed in that. And then as man began to be born, man was born a sinner. God would have had the right to just be done with man. But look at verse number 19 of Romans chapter 5. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners. That's you and me, brother. So, or likewise, by the obedience of one shall many be made, what class? Okay, so link Christmas in your mind. Don't miss this. Adam took man into sin. And Adam, and that sin brought death, and death separated man from God. And had not God put that angel in that garden, Adam would have come in that garden, ate of the tree of life. He would have lived forever in condemnation. He could have never been born again. He could have never known life. So God put him out there, put an angel there, brought them coats to cover their skin. And God knew that that sin separated, but God never wanted man to be lost forever. And God immediately in the book of Genesis chapter 3, God said to that Satan what he has done, that serpent. And God said, oh, there's coming a day when the seed of the woman, seed of a woman doesn't have seed. Seed comes from the man. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the Virgin Mary. I'm talking about that holy thing that God put in her womb is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. That old Bible scholar in the Old Testament shake his head and say, what in the world are we talking about here? We're talking about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God himself said, Satan, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. I like that. Years. Centuries later, Isaiah said, you want a sign? A virgin's going to conceive and bear a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Man, in his sinful nature of humanity, began to digress and to digress. And man would shake his fist at God. And man would hate God. And man would curse God. And man would live in sin against God. But the whole time, God knew there was coming a day when he would prove his love. He never stopped loving humanity. And so as Adam brought us in on that Christmas night, God sent Jesus to be born. And the Bible said this, by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. By the obedience of one, many were made righteous. What obedience would he be talking about the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus was always obedient. He's talking about that obedience where Jesus that night in the garden submitted himself. And Jesus that night submitted and humbled himself and became obedient, the Bible says, unto the death, even the death of the cross. Adam took many into sin. The death of Jesus Christ enables man to be brought out of sin. This is the Christmas story. This is God showing him his love for you. He sent his son who died in your place so that you and I could know eternal life. God doesn't love me. Oh, yeah, he does. Man or woman doubting of God's love, you need to understand the Christmas story. Man or woman doubting of God's love, you need to understand the premise of the Bible. God loves you. And he proved it. He died for your sin so you and I don't have to go to hell. Amen. Pastor, can you explain to me why God loves me? Nope, and knowing you, it's a miracle to me too. Pastor, I don't know that I've ever heard anything like love like this. Right, because there's no love like God's love. Pastor, where'd you find this love? In the Bible. Pastor, I want this love. Oh, wow. Come back to Romans chapter 5. Look, if you would, at verse number 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's Adam, much more they which, what's that word? Receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Let me read you what John said about that. But as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Saddam Hussein, Ahab, you take the world's most evil men and women. There hasn't ever been a man or woman that God hasn't loved. And he declared his love to the whole world the very same way. He let Jesus die for them for their sin. Here's the difference. What will you do with the love of God? Will you receive Jesus as your Savior by faith? Or will you, like many of those people, just deny the love of God and trample it into a Christless eternity? How do I know God loved me, Pastor? Because he died for you so you could have eternal life. Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Shall we pray?